Welcome to Claire and Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mr. James Corbett from CorbettReport.com. This is, you know, today I watched with great satisfaction James's most recent Decentralize the Planet, you know, video. And he talked a lot about, you know, Cordal and Mines and Bastion and things that we've been talking about on the show. And I'm got a renewed motivation. Things have been getting bad in the IT world. I don't give a crap what anybody says. James, what are you hearing? You know, what are you experiencing as the transition from, you know, I don't know, from Windows 11 to 47 of update of freaking Zoom, Skype, of tell me everything.
Yeah, I think the frustration you're feeling is what a lot of people are feeling. And on every level, the hardware level, the software level, the operating system level, they are breaking their own infrastructure in order to put more and more control and centralize something that was always meant to be decentralized, right? That's what the internet is. It's a decentralized network that could resist a nuclear strike and blah, 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 however right. It was sold to the public. But no, what they're trying to do is to centralize it all and to make sure that they have their one ring to rule them all over the internet, which is meant to catch us all in its web. And it's increasingly working, because as Joe Normie becomes more and more of an online digital personality, they are, of course, going to take whatever is offered to them. Windows 47, sure. Facebook sounds great. Whatever.
I totally agree. Update.
As long as there's a grandma just button, they're happy, right?
Exactly. And that's what we have to do to compete. You know, a lot of these guys, all we can do, and I go, hey, has it got a grandma adjust button? Do you got to explain it to me? Do I got to take
you
a tutorial?
Just do this and that and this and this. It's a Family Guy joke. There was some mosquito or something, some talking fly in their house that was singing to them about conspiracies or something. And Peter Griffin's like, well, I'm interested to hear more about this. And he's like, okay, so first just install the Tor browser and connect via VPN to... And he's like, that's too much work. And he swats the fly and kills it.
I'm with you. You know, one of the things that I'm really adamant about the grandma adjust button, because it really came to the fore in two waves. One was Linux. You know, you're doing it wrong. You're not using Linux and you're a bad guy. How you say you're a freedom guy when you're on Windows of whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, show me how you adjust this and you adjust that. And that didn't work. Yeah. And then it was crypto. And when you talk to a lot of these young guys early on, they were proud that they keep going on about they wanted wide adoption, but they were proud that you would have to hire them as a consultant to light adopt it, you know?
Yep.
And I'm going, no, you guys, until you get convenience, easy, you know, that it's not going to take off. Now, it doesn't mean it's not valuable and it shouldn't be done and you should figure it out, you know? But it was that aspect that they used to get us. It was convenience. It was ease. Oh, you only have to totally agree. Now, South Park did an episode called Human Centipad, you know? Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You know, so that was just, you know, about them totally agreeing to iTunes, whatever the hell.
And terms of service? Sure. Who reads that?
You wind up having your face sewed to somebody's butt. But the it was what I've experienced here in the last few weeks, and it coincides with a lot of things that's been going on. You have the, you know, Chat GPT has freaking enamored so many people. I've been hearing about, I don't give a crap what that thing says. I haven't tried it. I don't care. I've done shows on it.
Yeah.
And Jerry Day did a whole thing on it.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just,
yeah.
I don't care.
Good point, because I just saw a headline, something about like Chat GPT predicts there will be a bank crash or something. It's like, why is that? Now this is a headline that people are like, oh, Chat GPT says it. Well, then maybe it must be about to happen.
Well, crap. You know, and they have
literally the oracle that people are staring at now, as if it's going to tell them anything. It's ridiculous.
Well, it may. I mean, you know, it's, you know, scouring the internet for whatever. But then when you want to find out anything of importance or something like that, or, you know, are vaccines bad or something like that, it has the capability and go and finding the data and it could report. But Well, we had to massage that a little bit. We gotta make sure it's not racist.
I'm not allowed to answer that question. Yeah.
Yeah, it calls mama. It does. It goes, well, error. Yeah. You know, and it goes home. You know, but the this is the situation that we're in. If you guys go and you watch James Corbett's most recent video, what was it? The title of it, so people get it right.
Decentralized Communication Solutions Watch.
Decentralized Communications. Now, you talk about a lot of things that we've, you know, prompted the audience, you know, months, years before. We've been telling, you know, talking about a lot of this stuff. And I'm glad you did that, because now it's getting to where it's just like when we were screaming IPFS years ago, is that now it's getting to be obvious. Yeah. You know, this is kind of like, I've gotten a lot of, you know, communications from supporters saying, yep, you warned us, you know, you told us this. So this is what happened. Over a week ago, Friday, when they did the Silicon Valley Bank, you know, announcement of here we go. And then I go, someday it's going to be Monday. And then, you know, here comes the crash. Well, when it started, you know, I'm feeling, I need to get on the air and tell them this and that? Nah, I already told, if I got to tell them what I'm going to say, I told you so. You know, I'm just like, you know, this is only the beginning. This is just how it starts. What do you think is going to happen? How is this going to progress? Rapidly, slowly? They're just going to bail out everybody? What is that?
Well, yeah, it doesn't happen overnight, but it happens all at once. Sure. Yeah, whatever. I don't know the exact trajectory of the pinball and exactly which way it's going to go, but we know where this is heading. In the end, of course, what is going to be the answer to bank instability? It's going to be, well, we need a new way of banking. Hey, how about a central bank digital currency? So we know what the long-term game plan is. If you know the destination, then
you see the journey,
whatever. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I can't predict exactly what's going to happen, but I think a lot of people are looking to 2008 as the template for explaining what's happening right now, but I would go back to 1907. People who don't remember the panic of 1907 was the Knickerbocker Trust Company and the Trust Investment Company and these other new big New York trusts all went under in spectacular fashion. Big banking panic, big banking runs. It took months of concerted efforts by J.P. Morgan bringing everyone together, all the banksters together in his own private office in his home, and they hashed out deals for bailing out this and that and insuring this and making sure people had money for that. And it was basically Morgan who was running the country at that point, undeniably. And then what that led to was the reaction of the people. We got to do something to bring these damn New York bankster muckety-mucks under control. We need a Federal Reserve. And so that's literally where the Federal Reserve started. And as it turned out years later, even Life magazine was reporting on this in 1949. You know, there are rumors that it was actually Morgan who started the Chinese whispers that started the run on the banks in 1907 in the first place. And then he coordinated and consolidated the bailout, which ultimately gave him consolidation of all of his rivals. So in this particular case with Silicon Valley Bank, it turns out, who was spreading the whispers about this? Well, it was the venture capital firms themselves, like Peter Thiel and others, that were saying, hey, guys, get your money out of this SVB. It's going under. And J.P. Morgan was actively recruiting people. Hey, guys, bring your deposits over here. This is where the money is safe. Don't trust those regional banks. And now even Financial Times is reporting who's the big beneficiary of this. Well, so far it's the big banks. It's JP Morgan, it's Citibank. These banks are getting tons of new customers. In fact, I think JP Morgan even is now expediting their new customer deposit process to get people on board quicker, because hey guys, come over here, this ship's gonna stay afloat. So there's definitely some shenanigans afoot, but let's never forget who's at the base of this Ponzi scheme. It is the Fed. And what precipitated this particular collapse was SVB had tons of deposits, tons of cash, too much to know what to do with. So it parked it in the safest place you could possibly park it, US Treasuries, 10-year Treasuries. What could go wrong? Oh my God, the Fed is raising rates for the first time in a generation. Oh my God. And that tanked everything. And so as others are pointing out, if SVB is insolvent, then everybody's insolvent because everybody's in treasuries. Wells Fargo has like five times as much in treasuries as SVB did. And those are unrealized losses as well that will be realized at the second they try to cash them in. Or if they can't finance them, they might even go under quicker than that. So the base level of this is the Fed and what the game that they've been playing at since before 2008, since the dot-com crash, really, of artificially keeping things going by artificially low rates, and they cannot get out of it without causing a crash. But maybe they want the crash, right? Because that's the perfect solution or the perfect problem to give the reaction.
I got a story for that, you know, how this happened. I think it was David Schweikert is a congressman from, I don't know, Fountain Hills, Scottsdale area here in Arizona. And he was a Ron Paul supporter kind of thing. And Tim Pachote, the Liberty advisor, he comes on the show quite a bit. And years ago, I remember we're in the studio and he goes, you know, this is what I did. He sent a letter to Congressman Schweikert. He was on the, I don't know, the finance committee of Yellen when she was, you know, Fed, whatever, and she was there. And he got his question asked, what happens when the interest rates go down to the bonds at these, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Schweikert asked her the question, oh, that will never happen. That would never happen. That never happened because that would never happen, you know. And Tim defined exactly what would happen, and here it is. So he did a video with Josh Segerson for World Alternative Media just a couple of days ago, and he goes, it happened. This is exactly what I was talking about. Yeah. So it wasn't like we didn't predict. This was inevitable. So people are like, how did you know? How did you not know? I mean, this was going to happen. Now, one of the other things is one of the, you know, diversity, super, even their compliance officer, they didn't even have one for months. And they had, you know, but they had their diversity officer. They definitely were doing that. And come to find out, there's like billions of dollars they gave Black Lives Matter, all the banking system. I mean, not hundreds of, you know, like, you know, it was at least, it was 85 million or 85 billion. I thought they said billion. I'm like, not billion, you know, so you got to look that up, but it's a lot of freaking money. Okay. So that's all in this diversity thing. They weren't worried about making money. Ah, it's not about capitalism sucks. We're just going to use it to get a lot of houses and money for us. That's what we're going to do, which is what always happens.
Exactly. All right. So there's an excellent article you got to read on this. Wall Street on Parade. That's Pam and Russ Martins. They have an article up. Silicon Valley Bank was a Wall Street IPO pipeline in drag as a federally insured bank, which makes the point that SVB was not a bank. And the fact that it held that federally insured banking depository institution moniker, meaning it will be bailed out by U.S. taxpayers, is just ridiculous.
What is the name of the article? What'd you call it?
Silicon Valley Bank was a Wall Street IPO pipeline in drag as a federally insured bank. Semicolon, FHLB of San Francisco was quietly bailing it out. Anyway, WallStreetOnParade.com. It's right there at the top of the page. So,
all right.
But yeah, it's a good article, and it goes through that point that this was an investment bank. The fact that it was federally insured is ridiculous. But beyond that, as they point out, the federal housing, what's it called? The Federal Home Loan Bank of San Francisco. It's a national thing, but there's regional branches. The FHLB of San Francisco was quietly bailing Silicon Valley Bank out to the tune of $15 billion last year. And why is it doing that? The FHLB is supposed to be for providing banks with backstops for loans for individual homeowners, for providing mortgages, for community development kind of projects. Why are they bailing out Silicon Valley Bank? It was to keep the scheme going, the scam going. And that $15 billion is exactly the amount of the unrealized losses that SVB reported on January 19th, which weirdly caused a 16% rise in their share prices overnight. After they report, hey guys, we have unrealized losses of $50 billion. And then the share price rises. And then Peter Thiel and the other investment bankers start going, hey guys, get your money out of this bank. It's going under. And everybody starts pulling out $42 billion within a day or two or whatever it is. And they go under. So this is, I mean, it's
you know, Credit Suisse has been trying to get the Souths to prop them up, and they said
apparently, they're not going to do it.
No, and it's imploding. So then what happens? China comes in, makes nice with Souths, and Iran gets the Saudis and the Iranians to bury the hatchet. They're going to go on to some kind of, BRICS, oil, whatever, not the petrodollar. But here's what it was.
Sure.
Black Lives Matter received nearly $83 billion from corporations. You know, this, it smells of money laundering.
Oh yeah, there's
might also been Ukraine.
There's also what's up with that had an exposé. Was the Silicon Valley Bank collapse caused by climate activism, which is talking about all the clean green tech, climate tech stuff that SVB was invested in, that they were helping to again launder money for the investment bankers, venture capitalists, etc. So there's many aspects of that, but yeah, definitely one of them is that all of the shenanigans surrounding their woke diversity ESG garbage that they were enslaving themselves to. But if you want the deep dive on the contagion and spread to Credit Suisse and where this is going, Ellen Brown, author of Web of Debt, she was in my Century of Enslavement documentary, just had a post up, the looming $quadrillion derivatives tsunami. So I'm talking about how this could spread into the derivatives market itself, which, as people may or may not know, is many, 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 many times larger than the entire global economy. Are these paper promises that are bets about paper promises that are bets about paper promises that are backed by nothing? But it's this big quadrillion-dollar black hole, which once it starts, once you pull the plug out of that drain, everything swirls down. And that's what the whole 2008 crisis was. What they were staring down the barrel of that gun, why they couldn't let the banking system collapse, that why too big to fail became too big to fail, is because, oh, you start uncorking the derivatives bottle, the entire global economy goes down the drain. So we gotta make sure that doesn't happen.
You know, we had Bill Bonner and Addison, I think it was Addison Wiggins. They wrote the book, Empire of Debt. And they have a big newsletter thing and so on. And we know them from whatever. And had them on the show. And they, separately, and they talked about in their book, Empire of Debt, was these derivatives. And they're going, at the time, they were going, this is like, hundreds of billions of dollars. Once this goes, they don't even know who the hell to pay off. It's kind of like the housing market thing when it went. Somebody owes somebody something. I mean, that kind of thing. But the guys doing the trading, they made the money. So they were talking about this too. And this was like 06. This is before the revolution. So I know it was before 07. So it was like 06, before the housing thing really started to go. And in July of 08, I'm like, here it comes. I can feel it. Well, then it came. And they were talking about this. And then, Warren Buffett is going, weapons of mass destruction, these derivative markets and, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like we didn't know. We knew you could see it. And I remember we had the billionaire biker, which is a Rogers. Anyway, he was Soros's partner back in the day. What's his name? Anyway, we would have him on regularly and always calling him from Shanghai or New York or something. And he was saying when he knew it was coming, I think it was 05, is when Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae stopped doing their quarterly reports. He's going, because they can't. Nobody's willing to sign off on it. He goes, here it goes. So as we're screaming this stuff for at least 2 years, you could see it coming, and they built it up and built it up and built it up, and all the great white sharks feasting on the dead whale carcass until all of a sudden the bones just sink. And it's done and it's gone, So that's what's happening. I don't see any other solution for them other than let it go, which is the first thing you need to do. Jacob Hornberger, had an article, why don't we just let it fail? Then other option is they just bail everybody out, which is what Biden's come out and said, don't worry about it. We're not bailing out the bank. We're just bailing out all the depositors. All our voters, all our Democrat voters.
Exactly. Who, by the way, all of the board members of SVB were Democrat donors. And one of them was an investment banker. The rest of the board was just basically Democrat donors.
They were from Clinton and Obama administration, or they gave a big fundraising kind of stuff. I went through this. This is when I first started, you know, activism. It was in Daddy Bush back in 90, 91, around in there. And what happened, there was a guy named Steve Mosbacher. He became Secretary of Commerce. And I go, and they called it Team 100. And I'm like, who are these people? They were so corrupt. I mean, I meet with them and do it. You know, it's a long story, but I'm going, what is wrong with these people? You know, I mean, they're messed up in that. They're a sociopath. What the Team 100 was, is if you raised collectively, you had events or whatever, and you got $100,000, you got to be an ambassador to freaking Barbados or something.
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
So all these people, they get paid. And who got these fundraisers? What do they get paid? You get to be on the board of directors of we'll spend money any way you want kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's been going on.
Yep, for sure. Absolutely. And yeah, just to back up the sort of notion of what's going on here, again, from that Ellen Brown article, talking about in 2002, Warren Buffett wrote that derivatives were financial weapons of mass destruction. And at that time, the derivative bubble was estimated at $56 trillion in notional value of those derivatives. But the derivatives bubble had reached by May of 2022, an estimated $600 trillion, according to the BIS, the Central Bank of Central Banks.
Trillion?
$600 trillion. And that the total, the actual total, is often estimated at over $1 quadrillion, but no one knows for sure because most of the trades are done privately. This is essentially a shadow banking part of the system that isn't actually calculated. It isn't on the books. There's no way to even know once the bubble starts to burst how big it is, but it's probably over $250 billion. By the way, check out the world GDP. It ain't $250 billion. Like, this is bigger than the entire global economy.
You know, we had a sign that we had done. I remember Gary Franchi from Next News Network was visiting Phoenix and we were doing shows at our workshop and we're having a good time. So some of the guys were in there and there was four of us and one of them was Morpheus. You know, Thomas Costanzo that, you know, did his time for crypto. Gary, myself, and a couple other activist guys, Nick and Drew. And we made this one sign. It was on black, you know, outdoor banner stuff. So it was black and we had white on it. And it said, had a little Gerber baby logo that we used for It's Not My Debt thing. And it said, Mommy, what's a $250 billion? And at the bottom, we had the Revolution Love logo, you know. Mommy, what's a $250 billion? Revolution, that's what. Well, here we freaking go. And you wish it was only a quadrillion. I mean, this is this is never, ever, 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 ever going to get paid back in any way other than default or hyperinflation or something while they're doing away with the petrol
in order to bring in the new system. I mean, that's what this is ultimately about, and I just don't know when that will happen, but when they think they are ready for it, they will crash it.
You know, I the only thing I was motivated to do was get in on the timeline. So I go in and I'm like, look, I'm busy. I get up. What am I going to say? You know, blah, blah, blah. So what happened was I just let the build up of pre-records I had because I needed time, you know, doing some work. Well, I go, all right, I'll do this. I go on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Telegram. You know, a bunch of, you know, guys are on there. And I go in and I said, imagine if you were going to bring in central bank digital currencies, where will you start the crash? With all the big tech guys, it's going to be Silicon Valley Bank. All these people know what's up. And then what are they going to do? Oh, yeah, we're going to give you. Oh, you're absolutely. We're going to give you billions of dollars in central bank digital currencies. You'll get nothing or you'll get your purple digital script money. what are you going to do?
Right. Let's put it on the record. Mike Swadek just had a podcast up, A3 podcast, on this very notion. What did he call it? I think it was, hold on. I got it right here.
Yeah, I talked to him today. He said that you tasked him with something. And
I told him to write to make a video. He said, how about a podcast? I'm like, all right. So it's just up on Bastion.com right now. CBDC can arrive next month. Are you ready? And he goes through step by step how this contagion can spread, and they can offer CBDCs as the solution. So
you're a big motivator, James. I tell you, you got Mike working.
If people have something to say, get out there, say it, spread it.
You know, this is the one thing I wanted to make sure we got into this week's show is I've been taking a couple of weeks to really focus on doing a separate website other than Freemus Phoenix, all the other stuff we do with the other guys. Now, fortunately, what I'm finding out is that we are so lucky that we had, you know, our site started back in 05, WordPress. What the hell's that, you know?
Yeah.
So as we had this old PHP code that we're doing and kind of making the cocktail napkin, you know, show up on the screen, everybody gives me crap about it. And I'm going, yeah, but it's still there. And it's been there. Yeah. Damn Skippy, it's been there 17, 18 years. And, you know, we've been DDoSed and so on, but we knew where and how and we could fix it. So we've been up and running all that time and they suck it. As I go into WordPress, even with the open source version put on our own servers, as we're going through every single plugin, every application, everything that you put on that, it phones home to mama.
Yep.
And as I was trying to, you know, I've had all these updates and stuff and Zoom this 11, 10 kind of been the whole, all my systems were wiping everything and we're going Linux. So this next week, I'm going to be doing the next couple of days. I'm going to do a bunch of shows and I have somebody coming down or one of our IT sound guys. And we're going to totally strip the entire studio and put everything back on the Linux like I had in my home studio. Now, the reason for that is, as I go in to doing all these different things, you can see that it's phoning home. And when I was sitting there trying to update drivers and whatever to do this show, because a bunch of stuff was happening, the Zoom thing didn't load in right. And it goes, hold on while we report this to Microsoft.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, was the Chinese and Microsoft same thing or something? Probably. Yeah. You know, I'm done. So what do you think is a alternative to Zoom and Microsoft and whatever?
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's separate things out because yes, decentralized communications is kind of the general broad catch-all of the topic, but there are many different aspects of that. And one of them is at the hardware infrastructural level of what systems you are. And then there's the operating system level on top of the hardware itself. And then there's the question of the network, how you're connecting to other people. And then there's decentralization of discovery and decentralization of identity. And they're all, I mean, they're all kind of connected concepts, but there's a lot of different things and different ways they can go. So on the question of how do we talk to people, through email, video chats, live communication, that sort of thing, I am exceptionally skeptical about a lot of things out there like Signal and Wire and whatever catches on with the hey guys, Edward Snowden approves it must be good kind of community,
right?
Because you generally find Tor was actually secretly had these exit nodes that were tracking everyone that was on the net, all these types of things that come out later on. So they're never as secure as you think. And when I was talking to I forget his name, I think it was How to de-Google or something like that. Anyway, I forget the guy's name. I got to look that up.
Rob Braxman. To him.
Yes. One more time.
Rob Braxman.
Thank you. Yes. When I was talking to him, he makes the point email is just an inherently insecure form of communication. There's no way you can secure it in a way that's going to be totally encrypted and beautiful. You have to go to XMPP level or whatever. And where's my grandma just button for that, right? So when it comes to live communication, that's a whole different nut to crack. But I like the idea of a Qwrtle, which is being, as you know, it's being built from the ground up with the open source and the decentralization at the heart of the core of the hardware up, the entire infrastructure for an entirely new network. That's essentially the way you've got to go at this point, because otherwise it's going to be compromised at some level, as we've seen. Parler and all these other things can be compromised at the Cloudflare level, or all of these other things that connect in, that which are the ways they can get you, the web hosting or whatever it is. So we have to have that completely other infrastructure. But on top of that, what do you build in ways that will decentralize discovery and identity? Because here, I keep going back to this, because Jack Dorsey actually made this point a year or two ago, and it's actually a really good point. He said the wrong turn that the internet made was back with Facebook and Twitter and the social media companies that centralized discovery and identity. So what does that mean? Search. How do you search? You have to go through these centralized locations where there's central servers that control the way that you search and find information. Or you take something like RSS, which again is completely decentralized. You can sign up to any feed. No. You don't want that. You want Twitter, and you just follow people on Twitter, and then you'll see what's going on in their world. Again, centralizing what should be a decentralized thing, and centralization of identity. So my content, my followers, my network, everything about me is hosted by, don't worry, YouTube will take care of that. You don't want to manage all those people who are trying to find your work. We'll take care of that. Oops, we're shutting you down. It's all gone, right? Oh, maybe that's a bad idea. So on top of the network itself, you've got to build things that you can actually take your identity, your content with you, and you can do that in any way you want and connect to anyone you want. And it's your information that you hold. And that's why I'm excited about the idea of Nostr as a protocol. It's at the protocol level that you have to manage this, so that I have all the information and I can give it to this client and I can give it to that client, and I can choose to be on this platform and this platform. And if they censor me, or if I decide I don't like them anymore, I can, and even if actually I can put it here and here and here and here, and I can just post once and it goes to all of those different clients, and anyone can choose which client they're going to use in order to interface with me. Hey, isn't that exactly the type of infrastructure you're trying to create with, hey, how about if I just upload to IPFS and it gets propagated all right to all these other places, right? Just upload.
Now, we're on the same page. I tell you, I saw a presentation. It was at Nexus Earth at the Phoenician. They had an event here years ago in Phoenix. And the Phoenician is, you know, Charles Keating, gold-plated toothbrushes in your room place, you know, kind of thing. And they had this conference, and a guy came in advocating about how you own your data, even, you know, from your small child, you get, you know, on the net and so on, and all that stuff is exposed to everybody for everything. And he's like, nope. He goes, there was legislation, and I think Europe has something similar, or kind of a little bit like this. You get to, you know, do a freedom of information. I want all the data you have on me, kind of thing. Give you a BDD and
the GDPR, which is the reason why you have to click the cookie thing a million times unless you're on Brave. Because now every site has to put this thing up.
Well, that's a European thing. But what he was advocating is that they have legislation to where you own your data. It has to be packaged in such a way that it goes with you. Yeah. And I'm going, yeah, but it's still packaged, you know?
Yeah.
And you're sneaking in this package thing.
Yeah.
I keep hearing the package, you know?
Yeah, because really that is sort of the backdoor to the digital identity thing. Because, of course, the way they're selling the digital ID concept to people is that, yeah, all this data is out there about you. You need to own it and control it. And don't worry, you'll have the key to it, and you'll be able to share the information you want anywhere you want. Just create this digital ID. Just download this digital ID wallet that's being funded into existence by the Gates and the Rockefellers. What could go wrong, right? That's the way they're trying to package it for people to sell it to them. That, yeah, you have a digital identity. Now you get to control it.
You know, I had presented. I used it a couple of times. It was pretty easy. I just downloaded it on the phone and talked to someone. They insisted that I talk to them video on Jitsi. You know, Jitsi is a... So, yeah, what do I know? You know, it's supposed to be an alternative video conferencing, kind of private, blah, blah, blah. That's what they always say. How the hell would I know? You know, I don't trust anybody anyway. But so for me, I've always been, look, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there, you know? Yeah. So, but I'd like to not be on the list if I don't want to. What if Ernie wants to retire out in the desert and bite me? I don't give a crap. Yeah. I'd love to go play in the dirt every day and not have to worry about software upgrades and conflict with whatever the hell. I'm sick of this crap. So that is a lot of times where the win is to these guys is they just frustrate you out of existence, or they demonetize you out of existence. And this is where ChokePoint 2.0 comes in.
Yeah.
As a couple of months ago, I was hanging with Tim Pool and Luke Radowski were here, and we went out, and I asked him about, I can see what's coming. It's going to be ChokePoint next. And they're, ChokePoint, what's that? And I go, you never heard of ChokePoint? Well, this is kind of a little before their time, probably. Mm-hmm. ChokePoint was a effort by the federal government. I don't know if they did it through the DOJ or through some banking thing or whatever, but what they had done is they went and seized accounts of low-hanging fruit, like porn star bank accounts and, gun manufacturers and, day loan, payday loan.
Which, by the way, are all legal.
All legal.
All legal business.
It was all legal, but they didn't care. Marijuana dispensaries. Whatever the hell. There was low-hanging fruit that they wanted to discourage social behavior. This is social and economic engineering at its tyrannicalist. Word. So I'm going, this is what they did. It's called ChokePoint. And now they're doing it again.
And do you remember how they specifically did it? It was DOJ started program, but they weren't the ones that were doing it.
It was the banks.
It was the FDIC that they used to put pressure on the banks to debank people. So the FDIC was the real linchpin of that, the way that they did that. And who's bailing out SVB and everyone again? All right, it's through the FDIC running their deposit insurance corporation, or whatever they call it, the deposit insurance fund, DIF, which has I think $128 billion, in order to backstop what has now been estimated as an unrealized loss of $650 billion, on top of which leads to the quadrillion-dollar black hole. And guess where the FDIC's DIF, where do they invest that $128 billion pool of reserve funds that they have? In U.S. government bonds.
The
same
bonds
that just tanked, right? That caused the whole mess in the first place.
This is what we were talking about, when we would say, this is a tsunami. There is no stopping. Once this starts, you're not going to stop it. One bank's going to wipe it out. One bank's wiping it out. So what do? They have to, print more money. But how are they going to disperse that? It's going to be a central bank. This is how they're going to do it.
The funniest thing is the MMTers are saying, look, see, we're right. You can just print money at any time. It'll work. So why aren't people just doing it?
We're going to find out when they do away with the petrodollar, and all of a sudden China's being all buds with Iran and Saudis, and then the Middle East and China. Who has the money? China. Russia's probably not doing that bad. You have, the Middle East and their oil wealth and what are they not doing? They're not giving it to European banks. That's what they're not doing.
Yeah.
So this is done. This is it. This is the beginning. Okay. Audience. All right. I just want you to, if you haven't been convinced yet, this is it. Okay. This is what it starts and looks like when it starts. It will not get better. It's going to be a food thing.
Yep. Hey, look, I still think we're caught in a mixture of 1914 and 1930s. And this is the 1930s aspect of it. The bank runs leading into the economic instability, leading to the rise of authoritarian regimes, and then war. We got a template for
that. They have to go to war. This is a war. They're going to war. They got to go.
Yeah, they're already baking it into the cake. And it's just a question of when and how. But we're getting there.
Well, what do you think is going to be the population's response to this? Because they're tripling down on, how, but the only thing was, I didn't watch it because I don't care. But, they're touting on about, we had an increase in the audience of the Oscars. Yeah, we didn't talk about politics that much this time. Of course, it went 3 hours and something. But, it's all good now. Don't worry about it. We're not. But then what did you hear the entire time? Jamie Lee Curtis won supporting actress over some woke something. I don't freaking care. That's the only thing you heard. The black community didn't get theirs enough.
I didn't even hear the Oscars were happening. I didn't even know. I didn't even care.
I know. I didn't know.
I haven't seen a
new
movie in a year, I'm sure.
Well, anyway, there's nobody getting slapped.
But you know what? what will the public, how will the public react to all this is the important question. And at the exact point at which I think they stop caring is the point I'm getting really worried. Because think about World War II, for example. They needed Pearl Harbor in order to bring the American public around to let's get into World War II.
We need a Pearl Harbor moment.
Yeah, exactly. The day that we'll live in infamy, right? They needed that catalyzing catastrophic event in order to motivate the public, in order to get people to sign up and fight in their war. But we are moving into the next generation era of warfare 4.0 or 5.0 or whatever we're on right now, where at some point, boots on the ground is not going to be the important thing. It's going to be, you know, semiconductor chips in drones, right? Exactly. So at the point where they stop caring what the public thinks because they don't need you on board with their agenda, that's the point at which they're ready, getting ready for the super kill event. And I'm not.
So what? You think they didn't already do it? I mean, holy crap, man! People are dropping like flies.
They're doing it in every way they can. But yeah, we'll wait till they open up the laser space beam.
food is the easiest way. Yeah, this is one thing. You know, that's what Bob Anderson's always going on about. He goes, "It's the cheapest way." Ask Stalin. Need to starve them, you know. This is a food thing,
yeah. True.
You know, and then they're, please, sir, can I have another cracker? You know,
Can I have some CBDC, please.
Now they're gonna beg for it. They're gimme. I got my smartphone right here. This is how it's done. What I think is going to happen. It's not, I'm not even sure it'll be a significant minority, but it's going to be, you know, a chunk of people enough that are just going to, nope, we're good. We can take care. It's going to probably take 2 or 3 years, and we're just going to go, you know, trim the bushes on our land out in the middle of the something nowhere if I don't care, you know, and grow potatoes. So it's going to be, once you get, you know, you food and water, and you're not too hot, too cold, boom, you know, we'll wait it out. Do you got food and water, not too hot, too cold? Well, you know, sucks to be you, because we do, you know? Right. So I see that as the solution. That's why I've been so adamant about this Occupy the Land thing. Because I talked to a lot of my supporters. Well, Ernie, you should. And what do you think? I go, you know, I'm telling you, you guys are going to be coming to me, go, how did you know again? And I'm telling you, it is going to be keep breathing in and out longer than them, you know? Yeah. But the elite, and they, them, those are, you know, inside the machine, they think they're protected. They think they're made men and women. They think they're going to be okay. That's what they think. And I don't think so. And I don't want to be in the middle of all the guillotine lines going on. I'm just like, hey, man, I'm out and I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
I take care of my family and done. And in the process of, you know, you and I being able to communicate and do this kind of stuff, I feel the tentacles on the technology to shut down dissent whenever they want.
Yep.
They're doing it monetarily with choke point next. There'll be a next. They're going to make crypto bypasses that. We saw that with WikiLeaks. They go, we shut off your credit cards. You're not able to take Visa, MasterCard, American Express anymore. Oh, yeah? We'll do Bitcoin. Nope, not allowed to do that either. Nope, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. And the reason they don't like decentralized people's money, currency, silver, whatever, is because it provides freedom. It provides being able to vote with your money. You know, and they don't want you to vote with your feet either. I don't think they want you on the land. So
is why that domestic terrorism meme is so important to their agenda right now, because they have to frame all dissent as literal invasion. This is insurrection. You cannot do anything against us. So they're setting up the entire infrastructure for it. And then by the time they pull the lever, it's like, oops, you're all domestic terrorists. We can catch any of you anytime. We've got the perfect control grid for you. That's what they're trying to set up. And I said, when they stop caring about public opinion, that's one time to start worrying. The other time is when suddenly all of the real leaders of the deep state suddenly go missing. You'll know it's not because of the rapture. It is because they're going into the deep underground military bunkers for whatever Armageddon they're about to unleash. So we might want to watch out for that too.
Yeah, well, who be left behind? SVB board of directors? I mean, who's going to lead Biden? I mean, you know, I don't see... I can't imagine. I mean, there's a lot of things I couldn't imagine that's happened, you know, but, humanity always, you know, out of self-interest rally behind ideals and come out of this, especially that's what America was all about, and an example of that.
Yep.
So, and what did it come with? It came with the empowerment of people that had guns. And that's why they had the article back in the late 80s called From Crossbows to Cryptography. And the point that they were making, and I remember this from back in the day, and the Nakamoto Institute has this on their front page now. I mean, when I interviewed these guys years ago, and that article back in, 88, it was about of course, the king outlawed crossbows because it gave power to anybody to just put a bolt through a knight's chest and go back to plowing, you know? Mm. So they didn't want, of course, you can't have that. Well, you can't have cryptography either because that'll free you too, you know? Yeah. So they knew. I am, when they do this chat GPT, now they're in the version 4 that's in the top percent, you know, of taking the law bar exams, you know? So they're just going, whoa. And I think they have, you know, GPT 48, you know,
yeah,
this is
exactly,
we never know what they got until they show you, you know, they're doing whatever. We've been botted for freaking a decade already. You know,
20 years. Yeah. DARPA and their, what was it called? Sentient World Simulation. They were running 20 years ago with a digital clone copy of, they said, every person on the planet. There's this digital clone in this system. And then they just, that story disappeared. Like, oh, okay.
Wow. There are so many stories that, you know, have gone, and I'm just like, I really encourage people to use the search engine at the top right of Freedom's Phoenix. You go in there and you put something in there. I think I heard, or somebody said something about, I guarantee it'll be there.
CorbettReport.com. I got an email from someone the other day saying, I know you did that thing about NGO Trojan horses a few years ago. I did the search. I could, no matter what words I used, I couldn't find it. And I said, did you search the word Trojan on my site? Because it's the first thing that'll come up. And he's like, oh, I wasn't searching on your site. I was searching on YouTube. What? No, you're lost.
Here's your dunce cap. You know, you know, I've been, I feel so much better talking to you that we can, you know, just kind of vent a little bit. But I mean, I was pissed today, you know, all day. It was one thing after another with, I talked to, our Uber geek IT guy, you know, Derek Slopey with Agorist Hosting, and I'm going, man, it's getting bad. I'm just going to, you know, strip everything of Windows and go, I'll just bite the bullet. I'll keep this computer, do shows on, or I'll do something, you know, while we're making the transition. I'm going to bring Justin in. We're going to spend a week and sleep on the bus couch. We'll just whatever. And, you know, I don't know, smoke dope, go watch movies and work on studio. I mean, whatever the hell. We got to get this done. And he goes, yeah, IT's breaking. You know, the entire internet's having these kinds of problems. Yep. And he's, you know, as he's in the back end doing, I mean, and this guy knows what he's doing. He's going, yep, it's happening. And I can feel it, James. They do not want James Corbett's and Ernest Hancock's out there doing what we do. They sure shit don't want James. I can guarantee that, you know. So what kind of new vectors attack are you feeling, any?
I did a piece on Your Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare last year, and I noticed that a lot of people in the alt media have picked up on that and are running with that fifth generation warfare concept. So I am sprucing that up. It's an editorial text only right now. I'm making a podcast about it, but it's essentially about how the World War III is really already ongoing. It's the war of every government against their own citizens, and it is every vector all at once. It's information war, it's neurocognitive brain war, it's bio war, it's economic war. And it'll be food war too, right? It's everything all at once. And, you know, how are you going to separate out the different strands? It's all connected. And once people realize that, we don't need to endlessly stare at every detail as it's coming together. That's why I'm doing Solutions Watch, because ultimately, what is this about? It's not about just endlessly staring at the beast and marveling at it. No, we have to create our own system.
So, right. You know, amen, brother. And I can't believe the pushback I got on early. Two things where I got the most pushback when I, you know, created a project, you know, something that I wanted to do just to demonstrate whatever. One was Pirates Without Borders. I wanted to have the letters and get the technology and decentralization be a theme down to the individual and have some fun with it. And, you know, that was a thing. It wasn't for, God, 2 years or more. They go, oh, I see what you're doing, you know. And Occupy was the same thing. Occupy the land. Who wants to move? I don't want to go out and be a hermit in the whatever. That's not what this is about. You know, this is about getting out and being able to feed yourself, you freaking. Are you worthy of saving? I mean, you want me to feed you? You know, I remember the only time I ever did a show, one show that I've done that didn't get recorded. I didn't get the recording. And it was because I went in at a morning show. The host was sick or something, and they asked me to do the morning show for them. And I think it was Pearl or Rubin. It was one of the Clinton cabinet guys or whatever, and he had a book. Yeah, I go, well, Ernie, you want us to reschedule, do somebody else? I go, no, bring the boy on, man. You know, I can do it, you know, whatever. And I took his book, and I had maybe a half hour of prep. So I took his book, and I opened it up, and I read the introduction and the first couple of pages. Then I went to the back and read the last two pages. I go, I'm ready. Done. Okay? The guy comes on, and what he was advocating is everybody on the planet deserved clean water. And that everybody else on the planet need to make sure that they had it. And I'm just like, wait a minute. How are we doing? Who's administering this? How is it? Who do we determine? Yeah. How do we determine what is and is not enough? And, you know, what's my obligation? Exactly. What did they want? This was, you know, Council on We Rule You Foundation of New World Star Butt, you know? Yeah. So I'm going, yep, I could see all these guys are like this. And of course, they want to get paid.
Did you see my new podcast on Richard Haass's new book, The Bill of Obligations?
Yeah. I did watch that. Yeah, exactly. Same crap.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was the retired Council on Foreign Relations head or something.
Yeah, he is the president until June, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is what's coming. So what do we do? You know, this is, James, you're on the sunny climes of Western Japan. How does this affect you? What are you doing?
Oh, again, this is a global thing, and I sometimes get that from people. Well, where can I go to escape this? I'm like, well, I'm sure there are places, pockets of the world where you'll get a few more years, but is that really the end goal of all of this? It's happening everywhere. It just takes different forms in different places. It's happening in Japan. But hey, guess what, guys? The Japanese government has now officially gotten rid of its recommendation for mask wearing. Now people can use their own judgment about mask wearing. So Japan is almost caught up to like 2 years ago everywhere else in the world, but still 99% of people, 99% of the time, still wearing the masks.
Yeah, they so were, you know, that tells you a lot of stuff too, right there. You know, yep. I'm looking for the next shoot. I mean, you know, we've been pretty spot on over the years, James. I'm telling you, it's going to be the vaccine mandate and the COVID of lockdown of we rule you and put out mom and pop and the little restaurant and the little retail shop of the gym of the movie theater kind of thing. And then there's going to be the stimulus, we knew that was coming, which is going to create the inflation. We knew that was coming, which is going to make the petrodollar worthless, which that's coming. Then you're going to have the competition, whatever, that's coming.
And that's going to make them raise rates, which is going to collapse banks. We've talked about this.
This is so baked in the cake. There is no fixing it. The only way that you could do it is what Iceland did, is a do-over. And put these guys in jail.
Actually trying and jailing some of the banksters? Yeah.
Right. And put them in jail.
That's an idea. Yeah.
I vote that. So this is, who's going to be held accountable? Is it going to be at an election? You know, are you rooting for Trump? You know, I mean, come on.
Trump 2024, guys.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning. You know, Frank's going to be, he's going to get some, because we didn't do last week because we had the technical problems. So I'm just going, you know, I was going to drive over there in the bus on Saturday and we do a show, so we didn't have to wait. Mm-hmm. And they were working on the bus. They didn't have it done in time. So Frank is so built up. He is just, he's ready to freaking explode. So he's going to come in. He's going to, we got to vote Trump, you know?
Yeah. He's going to notify you about how Trump will save it all. All right.
You know, I mean, it's all entertainment. I don't give a crap. Put him, I go, yay, you know?
Yeah. politics is truly just entertainment at this point. It is just the shadows on the cave wall, but hey, maybe it makes for an interesting play. As long as you don't take it seriously, then fine, whatever.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how far they go to make sure they've tried everything and he's still in, you know, he's still out there doing his, he never stopped. He went all over the country. This last summer, I've been around and there are Trump crap all over the place. I went to one in Idaho with friends and it was a thing, you know, so I'm going, you know, okay, we'll see what happens.
Here's my question for Frank. Maybe you can give this one to him.
All right, Dan.
We know, I'm sure Frank knows that if there was, let's put it this way. Why wasn't Trump JFK'd? Right? We know what they do. If there is ever any true threat to power, anything that could destabilize, they will blow your head off in the middle, broad daylight, in the middle of the town square. They will do it in full view of everyone, and they'll say, hey, it was that nut over there. Okay, done. Let's move on. The coup will be complete. So why didn't they do that with Trump? He is playing his part in this, whether he knows it or not. He is
because he didn't release the JFK papers.
Yeah, yeah, that's one sign right there, isn't it?
They needed him to, you know, not. You know, I don't know. This is not going to be won or lost at the ballot box. This is not going to be won and lost at the bank. It's not going to be won and lost. It's going to be, you know, at your front door. It's going to be, you know, parents and grandparents defending their children. Yep. You know, this is going to be, you know, not forced to participate in a gay threesome in kindergarten. I mean, this is going to be, you can't imagine the crap that is going on. And you look at it and you're going, you know, this is one thing. When a lot of this woke, it got so bad that I couldn't even look for a movie on Netflix without being traumatized. You know, I'm just like, never mind. I don't want Netflix anymore. The only reason I got Prime is it's not as bad, and I got Prime delivery. I mean, you know, Amazon kind of got you. I'm about ready to, you know, cut that tie too. Yeah. But because we had Verizon on our phones, we got Disney and Hulu for free. There was some package that we had with that. No. And I'm just, it was so much toxic
just
waste.
Propaganda. It's just that, propaganda.
I mean, just even just turning on the channel. You know, to even look at something, it was so bad. And parents thinking that, you watch anything on Disney. And I remember when Disney bought Touchstone. Do you remember this? You know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely.
Touchstone was a, they did like PG.
Yeah.
They had like R, you know, and, you know, so it wasn't really Disney. Disney bought Touchstone, kept it at arm's length.
Yeah, because that was where they could put their like non-G-rated stuff.
Right. So I'm just going, all right, well, it's still Disney, but at least they're keeping it separate. Then they go, oh, but man, the Drag Library story hour definitely has got to be prime time at 4 o'clock and the latchkey kid of whatever the hell, you know. Even my kids were doing it. They just leave, you know, Disney Channel on. They just want, I'm going, really? Kind of, and as time went on, they're done with it. They just, now we have, so when we were staying at my oldest daughter's, she has Netflix that she loaded up from a friend. A friend has it, so they don't pay for it, but they still got it on there. I go up there and I see, all right, you know, I got another channel, see what's up. Same thing. Immediately, I am just inundated. God, man, I touched it. Ew, make it, get it off me. So I think it's going to take that. It's going to take people finally at whatever inconvenience, or oh my God, they'll have to read a book or something. Yeah. And they just stop supporting the beast that's devouring you.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be in the food. It's going to be in
reading books, I find I've really noticed in the past year, I don't watch videos online anymore, which is kind of funny because I make a lot of videos, but I just don't get information that way anymore. It just is not useful for me. I read books. I get so much more out of that than I do out of videos at this point.
Do you have a reading list? You know, there's stuff. I mean, I was always science fiction or historical novels, you know, fiction, you know, like Clavell and Michener and Fanny, and you know, that kind of thing. I got a lot more of the culture and the world and stuff. I learned a lot from that, and science fiction, you know, fed my imagination. But I mean, you know, a lot of these biographies, like I, you know, read some, like Iacocca, I remember I was interested in kind of because I like the Mustang, you know, and then I'd read a couple of them. I'm just like, I felt like I was just being propagandized, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. Of course, I've always got about 100 books on my reading list. And actually, remember last time we were talking about political ponderology, so right. I'm just now rereading that, and I forgot how much I forgot about that. So
how far are you into it?
I'm on chapter 3, so I'm about 50 pages in or something.
So what's the gist of it? It's just how evil rules or something? I mean, what's
Yeah, essentially. I forgot how deep it gets into sort of the structure of society and how that works on a sort of psychological, mythological level before he even gets into the specifically psychopathological level of it. So there's some good stuff in there, some food for thought.
You know, there was my son-in-law went to a conference vacation, UN, because you're whatever with this company at a resort and near Puerto Vallarta with his family. And he had some slides and we're watching them all. And then he had some slides from a presentation that he, you know, thought was interesting. Just 3 slides. And I said, send those to me. Yeah, because it would be part of the article I'm writing. And what it was is this woman that, you know, motivational speaker. They have, you know, speakers that go on, you know, to NFL teams and get their mind right, you know, get them, you know, be winners, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and corporate stuff. And the point that she was making was a lot of the stuff that, you know, we talk about is that, you know, you have thoughts that create emotions that create a mindset that then produces, you know, a result, you know? So you gotta, you know, you feed your brain with the right kind of, you know, the thoughts. You don't watch pollution and crap, you know, mess up your head. And then, you know, you have, you know, happy thoughts or your positive thinking or your take action or, and then this mindset determines your destination. If you don't have that mindset, you got a mindset of victim, you have a mindset of, you know, you got to be taken care of, mindset of you can't do it, you know, your mindset of whatever the hell, it's predictive of the result you're going to have, you know, so that's kind of the point that they're making. Yeah. So this has been a real adamant drive for me is decentralization of power down to the individual, certainly the community or whatever, and every justification I can do to, you know, to justify that. Yeah. And it has been in such opposition. It used to be that they used to go, well, you know, America and kind of apple pie and freaking 4th of July. And now it's like 4th of July, it's a racist, blah, 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 blah. You know, Christmas lights, you should be shot and, you know, whatever the hell. It's changing.
If nothing else, you're exactly right. If nothing else, just the propaganda, which it always was, of course, freedom and democracy and apple pie and all this, was always just words they were trying to sell you on. But they were trying to sell you on those words and those concepts and, you know, like good, wholehearted family values. And now the propaganda is in the exact opposite direction. Just taking a step back to just look at that should be enough to wake anyone up. And the people who don't understand, well, at any rate, they used to say this, and now they're saying that all of that is evil, and this is good, and it's the exact opposite of everything I believed when I was growing up. Anyone who doesn't see that right now they're not here. They are the NPCs. Like, whoa, where
NPCs.
Are you?
That's why they freaked out when that became a meme. They were like, no, I'm going, man, that is, you're a non-participating character in a video game. You're just, you know, sitting there going, where's my cat? Where's my cat? I mean, you know, whatever. This is, before you go, let's do a little bit of predicting. Mm. You know, we are at the beware the Ides of March.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, so we're, you know, here we be wearing, all right? So this is going to be, from now, you know, what do you think is going to happen to the United States and global economy? What kind of resistance and revolution and pushback are you getting? Because you're not seeing what's happening all over the world. There are tens of thousands of people in the street in a lot of areas. Yeah. Hell no.
France recently. Yeah.
France, Brazil, China. I mean, you know.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. Remember when that happened? Yeah.
Yeah, they're just holding up their white pieces of paper, you know?
Yep.
You know, so economic, I mean, militarily, but rattle off some things.
I love making predictions because the exact thing you predict will not come true. So I'm going to predict Credit Suisse will go down. that will start the global banking collapse. Every currency on the planet all going to collapse down to zero. They're going to institute the CBDC on the back of that at the same time as China goes for Taiwan. And they're going to blow up the semiconductor factories in Taiwan, crippling the entire global technological infrastructure. And they're going to use that as the excuse for World War III, which, oh, by the way, means now you have absolutely nothing and you won't be happy because now you're rationed and we're going to provide everything to you and you're going to have to take whatever we give you. And oh, by the way, real food is bad for the environment, so we're going to give you these lab burgers from now on, and you will be happy. And oh, and don't ask what it's actually made from, because it ain't meat. But other than that, everything will be fine. You will be able to subsist in your pod for as long as we allow you to do so. That is the vision of the future that they, them, those want to bring in, but we don't want that. So we're already creating our communities of interest that can survive on their own, right? So we don't even have to worry about that scenario.
Not as much. You know, and I people on there, hey, I hear you have food, Ernie. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I know I got ammunition. You know, this is, we try and make light of it and have fun and everything, but the humor's getting sucked out of it. Yeah. You know, it's getting to where now I'm not trying to, you know, keep your attention with humor. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, make light of that. You're not be afraid or something. It's getting to the point to where you need to be deathly afeared. This is a death cult. These people want you dead or on their side. Hell, I don't even give a shit if you're on their side. You know? And all the people that think they're the brown shirts protected,
you're right,
they're going to be first to be sacrificed.
Let me leave you with this observation. Fear is a two-sided coin. One side is the fear and the afraid, and you have to be concerned. The other side of that is the empowerment. And if we don't understand that it's the two-sided thing, yes, this is a concern. This really will hurt a lot of people. A lot of people will die in the coming years as a result of the craziness that is happening right now. On the other side of that is all of the things that we can create on the, we know what's coming. We don't have to study it in that much detail to know what the writing on the wall and to prepare ourselves for the world that we want. It's the other side of that coin. And we have to see both sides, because if you are Pollyanna-ish and are, you know, oh, nothing to worry about, then you are going to be hurt by this. But on the other side, if you're only concentrating on the fear, then you're taking yourself out of human existence. You're just going to be a pawn to be sacrificed on the chessboard. So we have to take both sides of that coin at the same time.
Yeah, get off the train track at least. I mean, you can key it as it goes by just for grins and giggles. But I mean, you know, get off the track. You know, this is at the very least. So, yeah, on the other side, this is when I talk about humanity always rises to the occasion of not wanting to be dead. I mean, you know, and the only time that I my concern that has been, they tried to do it with eugenics. They tried to do it with the various different kinds of weapons. They tried to do it with PSYOPs. They tried to do it with MK Ultra. They tried to do it. They tried to do it. They tried to do it with owning all the media, the celebrity, the web, blah, 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 blah. But as long as we maintain our humanity, as long as we maintain what it is to be human, to desire to want to breathe in and out, and not be a Manchurian candidate type person, let somebody choke you to death, you know, then we'll be fine. We'll come out of this and we'll be better off. But they want to change you. They want to, at the genetic level, they're going to feed you, vaccinate you, environmentalize you, do whatever the hell they can do to get you to just go, I'll do that tomorrow. I mean, you know, so you have to start thinking rationally, critically. You got to look at what's happening and see something this way wicked is here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't take our advice and take care of yourself, at some point we did our bit. Don't come whining to, you know, a lot of the people that took advantage and think you're going to just take what we did because we knew better. You know, I'm very happy that there are so many people like you, James Corbett, and a lot of other people that are screaming this, but I really am growing tiresome of the documentation of how bad they are. But Ernie, they're really, 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 really bad. You know, I really, really get it. Now what? So the solution series that you're doing and we discussed and a lot of the things that we're doing, I want people to know, for me to just totally strip all my software off to totally redo web pages, to totally redo even relationships and living conditions and everything. I mean, it was a big thing for us to go onto the bus and do all this and plan for the future. I mean, but I knew that I was, and I feel so much more secure now being mobile, being able to go to live comfortably and have the communication. But what happens? They're coming after your ability to share, to communicate, and to do agorist markets. Mm-hmm. You know, Black Market Friday, that's the reason why I called Mike Swatek today. I want to get an update on some things. And Bastion, I've been working with Daniel. They're putting in IPFS, you know, for us to be able to have the player in and so on. Yeah. So I'll start being, you know, when they get that done, I'm a Bastion some bitch. You know, we're going to be working with that. But this is, I can't keep hammering on how bad they are because I don't care. They're bad. They're really, 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 really bad.
They're bad.
Now what? Yeah. Go watch some Corbett videos.
Awesome. All right, cool. Well, thank you, Ernie. It's always good talking to you. It's always good to get your perspective on the latest craziness from that side of the world, and I'll keep updating you from this side.
Yeah, please. Thank you. Humanity is going to be okay as long as we can remain human.
That's it.
I'm glad there's a lot of people that are. You know, they you know, they'll be able to fertilize some women, you know, sometime, maybe. Peace, man.
All right, take care, man. Bye-bye. Bye.